Before we move into the sermon, I want to mention two things. If you pay attention to the announcements, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, we will have a business meeting, which means every single member of the church is invited to go to this business meeting. It's your opportunity to go there and to talk and to ask questions. So I would like to encourage every member of the church to go to this business meeting. We were planning to have it at the church, but our schedule is a little behind, and we get concerned with the weather that is probably too cold to have it at the current building. So it's in a different venue. So please put it in your calendars. A Sunday from tomorrow, we will have this business meeting, and you are part of this church, you are invited to be there. And the second thing that I want to mention to you is that in the construction project, the water work has finished. The electricity had, the first stage has finished. Heating and plumbing has finished. Right now, the persons that they are working is, Brian is working right now with the technical video and sound and making all these connections. And Sunday, we will have the people from the security company coming to put the devices for security in the new building. So after that, we will move with the insulation, and hopefully by the end of the month in December, we will have a church that is with drywall, and at least not the paint, but the primary base, the color in there. So it's moving along the way, and with some challenges and everything, but I think we are doing a good progress. Today I would like to talk to you about chapter 1 in the book of Corinthians. Please open your Bibles with me, because I want to do some study here in Corinthians, chapter 1. I mentioned before to you that the members of this church in Corinth, they were people quite peculiar. And you discover in the book that they had some challenges in that church. One of the challenges that they have was with immorality. There were many serious problems with immorality inside the church, but also because they live in a city that it was very immoral. If we will think about a city that is in the same category of Corinth, it will be kind of like difficult today to pinpoint a city that was having the same lifestyle that they used to have. In fact, the Greek word for fornication, Corinthian, it had to do with the name of Corinth. So they become like a sign of living a lifestyle that it was far away from moral, you know. And people know that the city have a lot of prostitutes, and male and female. And if you had trouble and you had visited different countries, one of the ways that you identify a person who work in prostitution, and I say work because in some countries prostitution is work, it's legal, is by the way how they are dressed. Are you reading in Revelation chapter 18 when John is describing the prostitute that represents Babylon? And how you wonder how John get to the conclusion that this interesting lady is a prostitute? How he reached the conclusion? Well, it's because the way she is dressed, right? So it seems clear that the women who used to work in this line of work, they have a different dress than the ladies who were married or going to church. They have different attire. And even in Corinth, the hair, it was a sign for prostitution. Because according to some studies, the prostitutes used to have their hair tied up in the back, and they were showing their neck. That it's nothing wrong with that if you like that style today, right? That doesn't make any sense. But in that city, at that time, if a woman was walking in the street with their hair gathered here in the back and showing their neck, that was a sign that that lady worked in a dubious kind of business that has some moral issues in there. So you find in the book of Corinthians that Paul is telling the ladies, cover your head, you know, let your hair go down, because he don't want the people to confuse the sister of the church with another kind of woman. So chapter 1 is an introduction to the letter, and chapter 1 mentions several things that you need to pay attention. So let's start reading here in verse number 4. For instance, the Bible said the following, verse 4 through 6. And I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, number 1, thank you to God, right? Because he has given you the grace and the power to be here. Moving on, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, it's two details in there that you need to pay attention. Being enriched. The implication is that if you are being enriched, is that you are receiving something that didn't belong to you, right? And if you are visiting like a third world country today, you will discover that the majority of the people in third world countries live in poverty. They don't have a lot of resources. They don't have a lot of means. And you notice that in many aspects of their lives, in their diet. For instance, the way that how they eat. It is a very simple, very basic way, and with a lot of carbs, because that's the cheapest food that you can afford, right? Here in America, if people is living in poverty, they tend to eat a lot of junk food, right? And you will wonder why. Well, because that's the cheapest food that you can buy and that you can afford. So McDonald's and Burger King's and all these restaurants becomes restaurants for the whole family because that's what you can pay, right? So if you want better food, it's more expensive, right? You want a nice salad, it costs more money. If you want a cheap burger, yeah, McDonald's will help you with that. So the same thing in other countries. The way that how they are dressed indicate their social status. Some people that live in poverty, they don't have money to buy fancy clothes. They live with very simple clothes. And you notice the way how they are, their shoes and their pants and their dresses, it's obvious that they don't have money, right? Now, I want you to think about this. Picture a big country when you have all these kind of peoples, right? Some living in extreme and abject poverty and others who have some resources. And you want that all these people have like a very similar lifestyle. So how do you level the playing field? How do you do it? The only way that you can accomplish that, let's say today in our society, is if you start giving the people that don't have resources more money, right? More resources so they can acquire things and they can start living like to the citizens of that country who have more resources. So think about that. The Bible is telling you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God is calling you to be part of his kingdom, that God noticed that you and I, we live in poverty, and he is speaking in the spiritual poverty, that we are not equal to this, the other citizens of this kingdom. And then the only way to level the playing field for you and for me to be able to be comfortable to be there is to give you gifts, right? He's giving you things. He's giving you resources, spiritual resources in this case. And for that particular church in Corinth, he was giving them a lot of gifts in reference to the utterance. What is utterance? That's a very interesting word, right? That's the ability of what? Speak. And speak properly, right? You remember that in 1 Corinthians, they have an issue about the gift of speaking in tongues? It's because for them, the speaking was a big deal, right? They were looking for certain spiritual gifts, and the speaking in tongues was one of the gifts that they were looking always. The second gift that was very important for the people in Corinth was knowledge. So they were concerned with knowing about the Bible and understanding the plan of salvation and understanding all these things about God. But have you noticed that some people They want to acquire knowledge, not because they want to share with others about what they have discovered or encountered. It's because it makes them feel better. It makes them feel proud. Have you noticed that that can happen to us? Some people accomplish a degree in a university, a doctoral degree or a PhD degree or whatever degree. And I remember a gentleman that I say, "Hello, how are you doing, Robert?" "Oh, no, that's not Robert. It's Dr. Robert for you." So he was reminding me that he have a degree. You know, and that's true. Okay, he make a big effort and he accomplished these things. But knowledge is useless unless we share with other people, right? If you accumulate knowledge only for yourself, it's good. It made you more educated. But if you don't share the knowledge, it's useless, right? So Paul is saying to the people in that church, God had called you to this new kingdom. But God not only is calling you to the kingdom, but he is giving you the means, the resources that you can be happy in this kingdom, that you can be equal with everybody. And that's one of the amazing things about the kingdom of God, right? When you think about heaven, right? A lot of people always focus in the city made with beautiful materials and the streets made of gold. But that's not the most important thing of the city. The most important thing of the city is the inhabitants of the city, the people that is living in there. And they all share like common things. One of the things that they share among themselves, you will discover this in the book of Revelation, is that they have a similar character, right? A character that is Christ-like, that is like the Lamb, that is like Jesus. So that character making and setting apart. So in order to be in this kingdom, God is proposing to these people, you not only have to follow Jesus, you need to be like Jesus pretty much, right? You need to have his character to be happy, to be able to be in this place. Otherwise, you will feel out of place, right? Have you been in a party or in a gathering that you don't feel comfortable because the people, maybe they look different or they treat you in a different way? So how that made you feel? Think about that. Now, continue reading with me. Even in all the testimony of Christ was confirming you, so that you come short and not give, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He continued to say in this, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Again, it's the second coming. And what the Apostle Paul is suggesting here is that the reason for all this spiritual gift that God is giving you is to help you to accomplish a very beautiful character, right? A life that is blameless, that I will allow you to stand there, give you the opportunity to be there among all these peoples. Not only to be among these people, but he continued to say the following. Please read with me. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. So, number one, God really delivered in his promise, right? You are here not because you and I were the best, but because he had pity and compassion in us and invited us to be part of this kingdom, right? And in his compassion and in his love, not only he invited us to be part of the kingdom, but he gave us resources to be able to be there. To be in that kingdom and to be able to share fellowship with whom? With Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. I had kids in my house. They are a little older right now. But if you are like me, you pay attention who are the friends of your kids, right? You don't want your children to be associating with any kind of human being because you know they can be a bad influence in your kids. So you need to pay attention to who is fellowshiping with your children, and you are trying to select the best friends for your kids. But this text is telling you that God had invited you to be a good friend of Jesus Christ. How that made you feel? Oh, well, we are in the good part when God, right? He thinks that we have some potential. Maybe we are not there yet, but he's seeing something in you that sets you apart and that he thinks that you can be a good companion, a good friend of Jesus Christ. More than that, when you think about that, God had been so generous with the human beings that when the Bible is speaking of enriching us, giving us resources, the most beautiful resource that you can receive is the opportunity to be in the companion or the friendship with Jesus, our Lord. Amen. That changed everything. Amen. It's an old saying my mother used to repeat, that birds with the same feathers, kind of like. And the idea was, if you got like bad companion, bad friends, it's because you like some of the things that they are doing. Maybe you will say, no, I'm just trying to help them, or no, whatever the reason that you are giving me is incorrect, because this is something that is connecting you with these people. That's why you have a relationship with them, right? Maybe you are not in their point yet, but you are going in that direction. So thinking about that, I discovered that the Bible mentioned at least in two or three occasions in the Gospels, reference to how people is dressed in parables that Jesus used to describe the kingdom of God. So let's go really quick and look something here in Matthew 22, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. I want you to go with me and do some reading here. Because we had read this parable in many occasions, and I think it had a lot of beauty and a lot of things that we need to remember today, right? Chapter 22 in Matthew is describing this king who have a son that is getting married and want to invite people to the wedding, right? And the story is a little different than the regular invitation that you have for a wedding. So, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and say, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and the cattle and kill, all these things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of this and went on their way, one on his own farm, another into his business. And they rest, seized the servants and treating them spiteful and killing them. So you have the story here where the king is trying to not only be generous, but he is behaving in a very kind and good way, right? Because if you realize, rich people don't tend to mingle with poor people. That's a simple lesson that you get in life really quick, right? The rich kids who have their nice toys, they don't like to share with the poor kids. They only share with their own kind, right? But in this case, this king is inviting everybody. The people who was listening to the story was a little shocked, because they didn't understand why they didn't want to go to a wedding. You know, they don't have to bring anything. It's just be there. And they were rejecting the invitation. And not only that, they were mistreating the people who was there to invite them. So the listeners are a little surprised with the story, but continue reading with me. Right? They murdered some of these servants. In verse number 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and many of you will find invite to the wedding. So those servants went out onto the highway and gathered together all who they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Right? So everybody had the same chance to be there. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did none had on a wedding garment. So what is the big deal when the wedding garment? Well, what is the problem with that? Why this king didn't allow people to have individual choices? I mean, they had to be all like uniform. The story goes beyond that, right? Because you need to pay attention to the story. The story is indicating that the king is providing for every single guest a dress or a garment so that they can be properly dressed for that occasion. So if you are a very poor person and you don't have the means to buy the dress, you don't have to worry about that, because the king is providing for you. He's giving you the dress. The only thing that you need to do is gather and put it on, right? How difficult that can be. But then you find out that a certain person in the whole gathering don't want to do that. He don't want to listen to what the king is saying. So again, I want you to picture the listeners and how they feel. This is absurd, right? It doesn't cost you anything. You are a guest. And you know what the word guest means, right? Not that you deserve to be there, but they are inviting you there. So you need to keep that in mind. So you are a guest. They are allowing you to be in that place. And not only that, they are providing for you so you don't feel uncomfortable among all these rich people. The king is providing for you. But if you refuse to dress accordingly for the occasion, what will happen? You don't belong there. You are indicating, without saying anything, that you don't want to be there, right? And think about that. You know, how many times you are in a meeting and you don't want to be there? And you are thinking, how I can get out of here, right? And I remember when my wife, in occasions when we were in Christmas visiting some friends, that we developed like a code. You know, we will go and we will visit, but we will have a brief visit, you know. And the code will be yellow roses or meat, whatever the word that you want to think about it, right? So when she say the word yellow roses, oh, I know. It's time to go. Well, thank you so much for the invitation. Have a good day. And you start moving in the direction of the door, right? Because your wife is indicating that it's time to go. So that's what we used to do, and probably you have some kind of like secret code or something that you use. Not because you don't want to be there, it's because it's time to move on, right? But this guy in this party, he don't want to be there. He doesn't care for what the king is doing for him, right? But he is still there anyway. So the king finally noticed that, and he's taking care of the situation, right? Let's continue reading. But verse 11, but when the king came to see the guests and he saw a man there who didn't have the wedding garment, so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless, right? He didn't have an answer for that. Then the king said to the servants, buy him hand and food and take him away and cast him into the darkness. So the answer from the king is, you don't want to be here with me. You don't want to be with my son in this beautiful wedding. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. You need to be outside, right? Now, when you get into the book of Revelation, garments, because Revelation is so full of symbols, the garments take a different connotation. The garment is not an indication of how much wealth, how much money do you have. The garments represent in Revelation what?
Character.
But not the character of anyone, the character of whom? Jesus Christ. So when the book of Revelation is telling you, for instance, in Revelation chapter 12, there is a woman that is dressed in white linen and that she looked beautiful, that's a symbol that is indicating to the reader that that woman is a representation of somebody who have a beautiful character. Because beauty is not measured in the things that we measure today, is measured more in the internal beauty, right? So let's go to Revelation chapter 19, for instance. And let me do some reading here in verse number 5. Revelation 19 is speaking about the wedding of the Lamb, correct? Verse number 5. Then a voice came from heaven saying, praise to our God, all his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. I hear that it was the voice of a great multitude and the son of many waters, and the sound of mighty thunder saying, Alleluia, for the God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice with him. Glory to the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So it's a very symbolic way to detail to you that this woman is a representation of God's people, the people of God, the people that will be in heaven, right? That they will have a beautiful character similar to the one that Jesus Christ. So the invitation that you are receiving today, although you had the opportunity to say yes or no to go, it comes when more than an invitation. This invitation is also followed by resources from God to help you in your daily walk in your life. This invitation is to empower you in the parts of your life that you are poor, right? Because we all have deficiencies in character due to the different upbringings and different problems that you have in childhood, whatever the reasons you have. We all have different challenges, right? So what God is trying to do is making sure that every single person that is invited to this kingdom has the means, the resources to be there and to be happy. Now, keep that in mind when you are reading 1 Corinthians. Let's go back there. Because the whole idea of Paul reminding them about this is in reference to the main point of the book. What is the reason for the first letter to Corinthians? Let's go and find out in chapter 1. With all that in mind, right? God is faithful, verse number 9, in who you were called into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is what Paul is saying. I plead with you. What the word pleading mean? He is asking you to your heart. He's appealing to your senses. Previous information that he's giving you now to react in the following way. I plead with you now, brethren, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of whom? In the name of Jesus Christ, that all who speak the same what? The same thing, and that no, there were no divisions amongst you, but that you will be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So this is something amazing. Because as long as I remember, and probably you too, I haven't been in a church where everybody thinks in the same way. Right? We are so different. And we have so many opinions, and we have so many tendencies and things that we like and dislike, and that is very difficult to get a one accord here. So what is Paul trying to say here to you, the reader of the Bible in the year 2016? Do the churches have divisions today? They do. And in occasions, instead of stopping the divisions, we contribute to the divisions more and more, right? I was having a previous conversation before the sermon with somebody, and one of the most common problems that churches have today had to do with something that is so common, it's so stereotypical of the churches, that if I tell you, you will say, yeah, that's no news in there, Pastor. But I will tell you anyway, right? It's called gossip, right? Tell me, have you been in a church where people doesn't gossip? I don't recall a church like that, ever. You know, so when we are listening or sharing gossip, which is information that you haven't really follow up, can be false or can be true, I don't really know. We are contributing to divisions, right? So the church is highly divided in Corinthians here. And what Paul is trying to bring is healing for them. And the way that you can bring healing to a church that is highly divided is we need to have the same mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, your individuality in certain ways give opportunity to God to take control. Because I'm pretty sure that you have sayings in the matter of tastes or favorite things that you enjoy. We all do, right? I enjoy certain things that you probably don't enjoy. And you do certain things that I will prefer to stay away from there. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's part of, you know, being part of this church, this community. God develop the church in that way. But we had common things that unified us. So today, you know, a few days ago, we were saying, thank you, God, for the many blessings that we have. And we were doing the big meal and whatever you were doing with your family. One of the reasons that I want to say thank you is for Jesus Christ. Because I still feeling that he's the most important thing to say thank you. You and I, we are here because he had compassion in us. He invited us to be part of this kingdom. He continued having compassion in us, and he is helping us. More than helping us, he is enduring with us. Having like a lot of patience, right, to deal with my problems and with your problems. And this Jesus is not only helping you along the way, but he is encouraging you to be a good servant, a good person. So when I think about all these things, I'm really grateful that God gave me the opportunity to be among you. Because I shouldn't be in here. You know, knowing the way my family is, you know, like, wow. Where I came from, you know, like, I feel like God has blessed me a lot more than what I really deserve. You know, one of the problems that we have in occasions is it had to do with our pride, right? We are pride people. And this pride, in occasions, doesn't allow us to see the beauty of the gospel. Nobody will enter the kingdom because they deserve to be there. You and I, we are guests. We are invited to be there. And that's part of the beauty, right? And it's not about how much you have or how much you know or how many things you possess. It's what God will give you. And may you be happy there, right? So think about that during this week, because I feel that that's one of the most important reasons to be grateful in our Christian life, right? So the reason for Paul to remind the people from this particular church about their richness and about all the resources that God is providing for them is to help them to get united, because the church was divided. The reason was to tackle problems like immorality. The reason was to deal with issues about abuse and spiritual power. I want to stop for a moment here. Do you know that Christians, in occasions, we are spiritual bullies? Do you know that, right? And in occasions, we bully each other. We start telling people what to do and what not to do because we think we are the right person to let you know what. And don't get me wrong, I feel that it's important that we get encouragement from each other, right? And we get confrontation from each other. That's important for the development of the spiritual character. But be careful, because I feel that in occasions our good intentions are tainted with pride. The reason that I'm talking to you is because I'm feeling better than you. No, that's not the case. The reason that I'm telling you this sermon is because I feel we all need to hear what God is telling us today, right? That we are here because he loves us and he continues providing for us. That's the good news right there. Amen? So may God continue giving you encouragement during this week, and may God continue helping you in your different ministries. Today we want to ask you, O Lord, to continue providing for us the spiritual gift that we need to develop our character, a character similar to Jesus Christ. Father, help us to have compassion and love for one another, and that together as a church we can continue working for this beautiful kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a blessed day, everyone.